Hey, and welcome to the Meditations and Musings podcast. I'm Elena Lipson. I'm a mama, I'm a wife, and I'm the founder of the Divine Self-Care Circle membership and the Virtual Retreat Academy. I don't believe that you have to sacrifice your body, your health, or your family in order to create true abundance and prosperity. I believe in living based on the divine feminine metrics of success, and these include pleasure, play, ease, grace, and a slower pace. Each week, I'll bring you 1 to 2 new episodes. One of these will be a guided meditation that you don't have to do on the meditation pillow, and the other will be a conversation to help you access your inner wisdom, to ignite abundance, and inspire others to do the same. I invite you to join me on this journey back to the magic of a divinely aligned and well cared for you. And now, join me for today's episode.
Hello, welcome back to the Meditations and Musings podcast. This is Elena Lipson, your host, your self-care coach, and inner work mentor. I know I say it a little differently each time, but inner work is an evolution, so whatever. Anyway, okay, so the reason I want to focus on intuitive self-care today is because self-care is a topic, the main thing that I've been teaching over the last 7 years. I have a circle that's been going for 6.5 years now. I've got programs on self-care. And more than anything, the way that I teach it is never about a formula. So even though this title says intuitive self-care, a 6-step process, it's not going to take you down my way of doing self-care. I'm going to invite you to really think through the lens of what works for you, acknowledging where you are, and I'm going to take you through a process of being able to do this really quickly, even though it's a 6-step process, and I invite you to write it down the first time, take some notes, and it gets a little, you know, more in depth the first few times you're doing it. And you can take it as in depth as you want to whenever you're doing it. Of course, as with anything else, this is your inner work, your self-care, not mine. Right? My ways are different because our lives are different. But I want you to really understand that there's so much more to self-care than just taking the baths and, you know, moving your body, getting exercise, eating well. Those are the foundational things that we can all access. We know we need to do, but if it was that easy, we'd all be well rested, well fed, nourished all the time. But right now we're, you know, as of the time of the recording of this podcast episode, it is June 15th, I believe. And we are in several different crisis modes in the world. We are in a pandemic, COVID-19. We are in major political civil unrest pretty much all around the world. And so regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, on the opinion spectrum, you are experiencing the stress, the maybe even burnout. Maybe you're, you know, not sure what to do. And I'm not here to call you right or wrong. I'm not here to call you into doing anything that, you know, I'm here to remind you. I'm here to be a voice in your head to remind you that you have an inner authority. You have an inner voice. You have access to an intuitive space within you that is connected to the higher good. And I don't know how your life is in service to your work, to your world, to your family, to your community. But I want you more than anything to have the tools to awaken your inner authority more and more as you move through a world that will constantly try to distract you into thinking a certain way, feeling a certain way, buying certain things, being very reactive. And being reactive does serve, you know, some people's purposes, whether it's political or voting or financial or marketing. Right? There's a lot of propaganda out there. There's a lot of false noise out there. And in order to be able to discern and to really trust your own path, which doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, doesn't mean that you're not going to have missteps, doesn't mean that you're going to get it right all the time. But the more and more you can start to be intuitive with your self-care, with your choices, the more you can start to have faith in your own decision-making process, the more you're going to be able to move forward in a way that doesn't have to agree with anyone around you, right? I will be teaching the inner authority framework over the next several months so that I can help you really understand what it is like to start to live in a way that honors yourself. And the reason that I teach this is, of course, as anyone else, I believe that anyone who teaches anything has chosen to teach that because it's something that they needed to learn or have learned or are in the process of learning. So for me, one of my life karma, dharma aspects, meaning my purpose here, was to experience life where I had no control, right? As very, very few of us do as kids, but really being someone who prioritized making other people comfortable, who prioritized doing things that I knew other people wanted me to do, but I couldn't quite find the courage in important moments to do things my way. In some ways I did, of course, we're not all one or the other, but I had to grow into my voice. I had to grow into my desires and my needs. I had to grow into speaking up for myself in my marriage and my motherhood and my friendships and my relationships with my family. I had to grow into that. And that doesn't mean I was weak or wrong or, you know, anything else. It doesn't mean anything other than I had to experience a deep contrast of not listening to my own inner authority so that now I could clearly reverse engineer what I started doing to understand what it was that I even wanted, right? Because after a long time of not paying attention to yourself, of doing things because you think you're supposed to, of living by other people's ideas and authority and opinions, you start to lose part of yourself. And then you have a choice to make. You can either continue down that road and wake up with a profound sense of regret when you're older, or you can decide, you know what, it is time to awaken, reclaim my inner authority. It's always been there. It never goes away. You're born knowing what you want, who you are. You learn along the way, right? You start to discern and navigate based on your cravings and desires and your tendencies towards being an artist or a dancer or a writer or a mathematician or an accountant or whatever it is that you want to be, right? You have a tendency towards it. And if you were in a family who recognized it and allowed you to fully express that part of yourself, experience different things, grow, then you would easily and naturally become that which you were wanting to be, right? But that's not how the world is set up, at least not in the Western world here right now. If you were lucky enough to be born into a family who recognized and nurtured your natural talents, then that's amazing. It's amazing. And maybe in some ways they did that, maybe other ways they didn't. Maybe when it came to finding a career or going to college, you know, they got a little more fear-based. So what I'm saying is we all have the space to grow more into our own inner authority. And I'm going to be teaching specifically to that framework over the next several episodes. But today, I want to walk you through this intuitive self-care, a six-step process, so that when you find yourself in a place or a moment or a day or a week like that, you feel unhinged or you are caught up in other people's fear or dialogue, I want you to give yourself the grace of time to get honest with yourself and to really be where you are, right? Whether you're stressed out or feeling overwhelmed or burned out, I want you to have a process that helps you communicate with yourself, not with others, right? I know most of us are used to getting advice and going outside of ourselves and Googling and asking your friends and your family, what should I do? What should I do? And they may have good ideas, you know, and as a coach, I walk that fine line all the time. I rarely will tell a client exactly what to do. It's more about helping you unveil and unearth and take off the layers of other people's ideas, opinions, approval, right? All of it. in order to begin to have faith and trust in what you hear from your own body and soul and start to take action based on that. And the more you start doing that, the more you will trust that you don't always need to know exactly why you're doing something. But if your body and soul is giving you the clues and the direct instructions, yes, it might be uncomfortable. For me, actually, I did this yesterday. I did this exact process yesterday where I was feeling a little ungrounded, like, does this matter? You know, what do I need? Like, I was just feeling so distracted and distractible that I sat down and I did this exact process, and it led me to removing my Facebook app and my email app on my phone, because I found myself in response to this kind of low level fear, anxiety, distraction happening. I found myself scrolling so much, a lot more than was necessary. And I wasn't even taking any action. I was just looking and reading, and it just wasn't feeling, it was actually feeling really destructive for me. And I have things I'm doing. I have projects that I need to move forward. I have people that I'm helping and supporting. I need to do my work. So I did this exact process, and I just did it. I took off the apps and I was like, oh my gosh, okay. It was a little weird because I've been so addicted to them for a while now. And I think a lot of you are as well, right? Constantly scrolling, looking for the next emotional hit, looking for something to do, looking for some relief. And guess what? You're not going to find it scrolling. I know that for sure. Okay, so after I did it, I felt instant like excitement, I guess you could say. I'm like, okay, I can tell I just created space for myself. And then that was around maybe 1 p.m. And for the rest of the day, I didn't check my email. We were out and about, and I was like, oh, I can just feel it. But I also felt that moment where I was feeling any tension. I would normally reach for my phone and check my email for no reason other than I was used to doing it and scrolling through Facebook. I wasn't doing it. And I felt so spacious, and I felt like I can actually have a thought. And I ended up listening to a really fun book on audio, and we were out going for a walk, and I just felt like this relief, right? My phone battery was almost dying, and I was like, oh, that's fine. If it dies, no big deal. So that was just what happened to me when I did this process. But I do this process often because I'm so in tune with when I'm on track and when I'm off track. So, okay, let's dive in now. What's the process? Step number one is acknowledge what you're feeling. Acknowledge what you're feeling. This in itself can be a huge tip into something different. Ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? Because for me, I was feeling this sort of buzz of distraction. Like every time I had a thought about something, you know, useful, I found myself going back to checking my email and my Facebook and Instagram too. But I could tell that it was more of a habit that I had started building, because everything you do or don't do is a habit. So unless you consciously acknowledge it, you're going to continue doing it. It's just how our brain is wired, right? It's subconscious. So I acknowledged that I was feeling frustration. I was feeling scattered. I was feeling like distraction had become some sort of soothing mechanism. So ask yourself, what am I feeling? Number two is ask, what do I need right now? What do I need right now? And when I asked myself that question yesterday, I instantly heard, just grab a pen and write. Like, okay, I already did my journaling today, but I'll do it. So I grabbed my pen and I just started writing. So for you, that might be going for a walk. It might be sitting and meditating. It might be putting on some music. It might be feeding yourself, right? Maybe you're hungry or thirsty. Sometimes we're our physical signals, or you're sleepy. Maybe you need a nap, right? Naps are amazing. Like a 10-minute lay down. You can reset your nervous system. One of the things I teach is you can lay flat on the floor for 10 minutes with no music or anything like that. Set a timer. And it actually resets your parasympathetic nervous system to where it activates the relax response, right? You're either relaxing and digesting, or you're stressing and you're constricted, right? And your digestion is off. Our bodies are pretty simple in some ways. They just know if you're in fight or flight and stress, it's going to do one thing. If you're relaxing, you can actually digest better and you can take in more oxygen and you can breathe. So number two is ask, what do I need right now? and just listen. What is it that you need to do in that very moment, right? Maybe you need a drink of water. Maybe you need a meal. Maybe you haven't eaten for a while. I know my son gets pretty hangry after a while. So I'm like, oh, we can't talk about anything until you've eaten. So that's something you might need. The next thing, step number three, is asking yourself, what is true for me right now? What is true for me right now? And this is where you can get really honest with yourself. Acknowledge any emotions that you're experiencing. Maybe you're scared. Maybe you're sad. Maybe you're angry. We discount our feelings so quickly and try to self-care them away. Right? I have a previous episode where titled Self-Care, when does self-care become self-sabotage? And I think that we use self-care sometimes as a deflector of what we're really feeling. And you don't, you know, if you're feeling angry and take a bath, that's not necessarily the right next step. I'm not saying you don't take a bath, right? I love taking baths. But there's a couple of steps in between to acknowledge your actual emotions and your feelings. So what is true for me right now? Whether you journal this or where you just give yourself time to sit and think about it, or just give yourself like, oh, you know, I'm feeling pretty scared right now. And just let yourself feel that, right? Emotions aren't permanent. They're not concrete. They flow. That's why emotion, in motion, right? It's in motion. Emotions are in motion. Well, I remember when my son was a toddler, you know, and talking about emotions, we would compare them to like a cloud passing by or a rainstorm. You know, it's not going to rain forever. It might be gray and cold and wet right now, but maybe tomorrow the sun's going to come out again. And that's how emotions are too. They're not going to stay forever, and they shouldn't guide your long-term decisions, but they can if you don't acknowledge them, right? If you think that's the truth. Emotions aren't the hardcore truth. It's how you're feeling at the moment. And if it's in response to something you've seen or heard, a news article or something, you know, visual, then that's not the truth. It's your brain reacting and activating part of you that is already there. Like all those emotions are already living in there. But it's not the truth forever. It's just the truth for right this moment. So acknowledging that truth is really important. Now, the next two steps are going to give you insights, because you can't think your way into a solution. Too many people try to think their way into a logical solution. Like, when I'm sad, I take a bath and it goes away. No, it's not how it works, right? Intuitive self-care is about getting into your inner landscape, into your inner world, and allowing yourself to stay there long enough to mine for that jewel, to dig into that cave, right? Your inner landscape is a place where you can go. And this is what I teach in my inner authority framework and in my inner counsel, is how to have that place inside that you can go to really design it and to access it and to go into it. So before, you know, since I haven't really taught that very much here, it's for my paid circle and my clients, the two questions that you can really gain benefit from and ask yourself is, number one, what does my soul want me to know? And you can make this into a journal question, and you can just say, my soul wants me to know, and just start writing. It's really important not to edit yourself in this stage, not to overthink it. And if you start writing something that's really illogical or doesn't make any sense, just go with it, right? Because this is really about allowing that part of yourself. And this is why those first three questions are actually important: to acknowledge what you're feeling, ask what you need, and then finding out what's true for you. You've already started the process of inner questioning, right? To disconnect from what you're seeing around you and finding out what is true for you. And then from that place to get so present and to ask yourself, my soul wants me to know, ... and give yourself the time and the space to actually ask and answer that question. And again, it might not make sense right in the moment, but that's okay. That's kind of what happened for me yesterday when I wrote, my soul wants me to know. And I went into this whole explanation of how I'm so distracted and why I just feel like, you know, I haven't been able to write and do anything. And it finally hit me, just like as my soul kept speaking on the page, I knew right away what I had to do. Because I continued the conversation, I didn't let the first layer of answer stop me. So once you spend some time in that realm, knowing what your soul wants you to know and acknowledging that, you move on to the next question. My body wants me to know, and then you keep on writing. And you start connecting, because so many times, so many women and men too, but mostly women, we live so much in our head from the neck up and are very disconnected from our bodies. And maybe you do yoga, maybe you do other things, you know, for physical fitness, but do you spend time really asking yourself what you need from a physical perspective? Spend time like massaging your feet and really being with your body. Right? Most of the things that your body wants you to know are quieted, they're silenced, because we were never taught to honor what our body needs. In fact, I was just, you know, speaking with my husband the other day, because what we see most of the time, and I'm sure this happened to many of us, is your parents want the best for you, or whoever raised you wants the best for you. So you say, they'll tell you, like, put on a jacket, you're cold. I'm not cold. Yes, you are. Or, you know, go eat, dinner's ready. I'm not hungry. Yes, you are. It's dinner time. You know, there's so many small ways that we get taught from good intention. Like, it's just good intention, right? But we start to learn that we can't trust our own senses. So I want you to notice next time where you even talk yourself out of feeling what you're feeling, right? We overlook our hunger, or we keep eating beyond our fullness for emotional reasons. And until we can really connect with and honor and really love, I know it's such a, you know, everyone uses this, like, gotta love yourself, gotta love your body. But I mean, like, love. Like, one of the rituals that I teach is a self-love massage. It's in my 21 days of self-care course. And the women who gave me feedback from that over the years have loved this one. It was difficult at first to really be present with your thighs and your belly and your butt and parts that you might not love, or you've been taught to not appreciate because they're not some perfect version of what you think they're supposed to be. So I want you to take this opportunity and just to listen to your body, just the way we want to teach our children to listen to their own bodies and to trust themselves. This is what we need to do for ourselves now too, and really walk that talk. Now, this is number six, based on everything else that you learned in the first five steps: acknowledging what you're feeling, asking what do I need right now, acknowledging what's true for you right now in any emotional landscape, and then answering the two questions from your soul perspective and from your body perspective. Now you can decide what I need most right now is, right? For me, that question was removing those apps from my phone. For you, it might be, I need to take a detox from social media, or I need to go spend some time with someone, you know, whether it's on a Zoom call or in person, social distancing, whatever the rules are. Go for a walk, be by the water, clean out your closet, cook a meal, help a friend, right? What do you need right now based on what you just went through? Then when you do that thing for yourself, that self-care piece, then you're doing it from a really intuitive, acknowledged, honest place instead of a band-aid. Self-care is not meant to be a band-aid, right? You can't go from angry to taking a bath to feeling better. Getting a pedicure is not a solution, right? I mean, I'm not saying those things are bad. They're great, but they have their place. But if they're constantly done in lieu of doing the deeper inner work, then even that is going to become redundant in your life. It's going to feel like a thing you do instead of uncovering your truth and really giving yourself what you need on a soul level, on a body level. So I hope you got a lot out of this. I know this process has served me and my clients really well. What I want for you more than anything is to trust yourself, to take the time to feel what you're feeling and uncover some of those layers of other people's stuff that has been just naturally, like, it's not a bad thing. It's just what happens by living life as a human being, right? So the more you can create processes for yourself, intuitive self-care practices that help you go deeper the more you can trust your own decision-making process, the more you can become the first and last authority on your choices instead of having to check in with a bunch of people, right? That's a very limiting ability. It's a very limiting practice to let others tell you what to do in life, business, and the bedroom, right? It has to start and end with you. Okay, so over the next several episodes, I'm going to be sharing more and more of the inner authority framework. If you want more support from me and from amazing women who are on this journey as well, I have now made a trial available for the Divine Self-Care Circle. For just $7, you can try a month where you'll get to experience 2 group calls. You'll get to experience the content for the month. You'll get to experience bonus guest mentors, and you'll get to meet some amazing women in our community. So if you're interested in signing up for a trial month, that starts exactly when you start. So if you start today, then you'll have a month from today to try it. And if you have any questions, first of all, the link is available in the show notes for this episode. It's also available in my Instagram profile in the bio. Just click that link. And the first link on the top says Circle Trial. You'll click that and your trial will begin. If you have any questions about it, you can always find me on Instagram, Elena_Lipson, and send me a message. Or you can email us at info@elenalipson.com. Thank you for being here today and always. This is, this podcast has been such a labor of love. You know, it's definitely something that is not a free thing, right? Because I have to pay to maintain this and host this and edit this podcast. And my biggest intention and wish is for you to really get something out of this, to walk away feeling like you had some transformational insights and reflections. And of course, I would so love it if you join the circle. This is just the tip of the iceberg of what you get to experience. And of course, we have one-on-one connection time. One of the things that differentiates this Divine Self-Care Circle from many, many other memberships that I've seen is that you actually get to interact with me on a live group call, like a video call. So there's memberships out there where you never get to connect with the person who runs it. And that is great if all you want is content, which is nice. And of course, you get a great community in those other memberships as well. But you get all of that, plus I get to meet you and you get to meet me. And that's been my intention from the very beginning of the circle. And I go live in the groups and basically I get to know you and you get to know me. And that's what I like, right? I don't ever want to have something that's like 10,000 people and never get to know them. I might have other things like that, like meditation experiences and, you know, people who read my content, of course, like 1 million people reading about intuitive self-care and claiming inner authority would be amazing. But the circle is a place where I want to get to know you and I show up fully. All right. I do hope to see you in the circle and I'll see you on the next episode of the Meditations and Musings podcast. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening and learning about the new Divine Self-Care way of being in your life, business, and the bedroom based on the divine feminine metrics of success, pleasure, play, ease, grace, and a slower pace. If you're ready to bust the myth of overwhelm and tap into an inspired start to each day, I've put together a free video series for you to help you start each day with energy, inspiration, and ignite that inner pilot light which attracts joy, magic, and synchronicity. You can access my 3-step magic morning practice to help you ignite your inner light and attract the abundance that you're craving. Head on over to elenalipson.com/gift. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would so love if you share it with a friend, a sister, a mother, a daughter, and please leave a review. That is how the magic starts to ripple out. Here's wishing you a day full of beauty, magic, and divine self-care. I'll see you next time at the Meditations and Musings podcast.